This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
I want to thank our technician, Charlie Harari. All the Noshim Tzadkani is that Natalie has done, and the other Tzadkani is, including my wife, who doesn't stop thinking for a minute about the Chev and what we could do here in the shul and for the community. And my dear friend, Shaul, Charlie, I know it was being promoted that first time together. I think it says something like that. That's ridiculous. We're hardly ever apart. Shaul Davin's around 3 feet away from me. We're dear friends for a long time. Maybe we don't speak to you together, but we speak to each other a lot. Hashem. So I'm just trying to warm you up for Charlie a little bit. Can you hear in the back? I'm going to start screaming. It's okay. It'll be all right. Must be already 18 years ago, something like that, when I was speaking in Bar Park with a dear friend of mine, Rabbi Krohn. In the auditorium must have been 3,000 women. It was a Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And our daughter, Shifi, who's now our Kala, was a little girl. And I told a story that my wife was horrified. How could I have said this in front of thousands of women? And I'm going to repeat that sin. By way of beginning, to bring ourselves into this time of the year, to enter into the palace with simcha, with confidence, with excitement. Because all of this time of the year is about is Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. The feeling of closeness, of being in his presence. So the story that I told was when Shifi was a little girl, she was already very, very, very frum and very good. All my six daughters, each one is beautiful in her own way. And Shifi was sometimes a little bit careless with Negel Vasa. A little bit careless with Negel Vasa, with washing her hands in the morning. She always did, but sometimes she would first go to the bathroom. To me, that was a terrible sin. You first have to wash Negel Vasa. That's what a Jew does in the morning. And I would tell Shifi that the first thing you have to do is to wash Negel Vasa. And then you go to the Sherutim. Then you go to the bathroom. But Negel Vasa is first. And that's how Jews live. And that's what you should do. So one morning, I don't remember, it was in the house, it was probably in the bungalow, but one morning I was sitting and learning already, and Shifi dashed from her bed to the bathroom without washing Negel Vasa. She committed the grievous sin of not washing Negel Vasa right away. And I passed by, sorry for being so graphic, that's what my wife was upset about. I passed by the Beis HaKisei, the bathroom, and Shifi was there. And my eyes happened to catch Shifi's eyes, and she was sitting in that place of humility, and she looked up in the sweetest way and she just said, "But I'm still a Jew." The truth is that I have to hold myself back from crying when I tell that story, because I often think of myself as being a person who has disappointed Hashem Yisbarach. And many of us, I know, feel that way. that sometimes we're in a place that's not good. It's the nature of a person when you come to endings. It's the nature of a person to look back, to think what happened until now. At the end of the day, we say Kriya Shema Alamita when we go to sleep. We say Kriya Shema. According to the Zohar and the Arizal, it's a time of Cheshbon HaNefesh. It's a time to review the day. And we're often disappointed in ourselves. At the end of the week, Erev Shabbos, Brother Tzaddikim, is a day of tremendous tshuva. In the house of the Noam HaMelech, the Rebbe HaMelech, they said that Erev Shabbos was like Erev Yom Kippur. Because you think back and you look at the week that was. And there are many good things, but there are also disappointments. Disappointments in others, but disappointments in ourselves. At the end of the month is Yom Kippur Katan. Erev Rosh Chodesh is called Yom Kippur Katan. A little Yom Kippur. Because we look back on the month. At the end of the year, Hashem Yisbarach gave us this month, this time. And we look back. If a person is fortunate at the end of life, at 120, there's a moment to be able to look back and to reflect. And so, many of us are wondering, because we remember very clearly how at the end last year, in Elul last year, in Rosh Hashanah, in Kippur, we were determined to make changes in terms of our religious behavior, our davening, our learning, our Avodas Hashem, our Tikkun Hamidus. We were determined to be more patient fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, to be kinder, to be more compassionate, to be more focused. And honest people usually feel that the resolutions of last year were not entirely kept, sometimes not even partially kept. And even though the shofar, of course, is to wake us up, and we did feel awakened. Anybody who has ever been here at the end of Yom Kippur, and in many other shuls, but here there's an explosion of hope. An explosion of Mashiach. Being able to look at Hashem in the eyes and to say, we're Jews. And it's going to be a better year than last year. And then somehow, over the course of the year, it's so easy to fall asleep again. It's so easy. Just somehow slip back into old habits. And make the same mistakes, sometimes even worse. So here we are. Even though it was a leap year, it seems to have happened quickly. And it's Elul, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. And we're sitting in our places in life, embarrassed and ashamed for things that have not gone well. And we're trying to lift up our heads and to say, Yes, Panecha Hashem Avakesh. Altaste Panecha Mimeni. Please, Rabbi Shalom, I'm still a Jew. Don't hide your face from me. But how do we look him in the eyes? How do we come into this time of the year with his chaskes and his oiris and simcha and confidence. Not chas v'chalila with dread. Not, God forbid, to wish that these days would pass and it would already be Shabbos Bereishis. But to live these days. So one of the tzaddikim, Arugas Abayisem, explained, you know, it's very, very hard if a person goes to borrow money from a rich person, from a gvir. You go once, you go twice, it's embarrassing. And then usually, if he can't pay back, he avoids seeing that gvir. So Arugas Abayisem said that we owe Hashem's Baruch so much. And we're asking again. We're asking for health, for ourselves, for our children, for our parents, for our nation. We're asking for Yeshua. We're asking for so many things. Everybody has, you all have lists in your tilums and your siddur. But it's embarrassing to come back to ask again when we haven't paid the chayvus of last year or the year before, what we owe. And we were certain that this past year we would pay back with more davening, with more tikkun amidus, with more patience and more kindness. So the Rukas Abayisem said that we haven't and we're embarrassed. And we feel that we can't come to Hashem, we can't face Him. But a poor person, of course, can come many times. He's not claiming to be able to repay any chayvus. So we say to Hashem, by slichas, lo b'chesed v'lo b'maasem, bonu l'fenecha, k'dalu m'chirashim dafaknu d'lasecha. We're not claiming that we paid you back for all that you've done for us. We're coming as destitute and impoverished people. And Rabbi Shalom, you yourself taught us in the Torah that when it comes to giving a poor person, and it says twice, last week's parasha, and the Gemara says, that if a poor person comes to you, many, many times, even 100 times plus. That the wealthy one's heart shouldn't be hard, should be soft and giving. So we come to Hashem, Kedalu Mukhirashim, Dafakna Vulasach. We're knocking on your door. Here we are again. We're destitute and we're impoverished. But an upstanding person finds it difficult to go back to the same Rabbi Shalom year after year, knowing how promises haven't been kept. And it takes away the cheshek for this time of the year. So we have to find another way to come in. So really what I need to talk to you about now would take a few hours. I'm going to try to put in a few minutes. You know, in Tanakh, there are many relationships that we have with Hashem. There are times that Hashem is described as a king. That's scary. It's a king. And we're his subjects. Then Hashem is an Adon, a master, and we're his servants. We have something much warmer. And Hashem's Baruch speaks of us in such a way that's so endearing. B'ni b'chari Yisrael, my son, my child. B'nim atem Hashem alakechem. You're my children. But you all know that there is an entire Sefer in Tanakh that has chosen to express that relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most endearing way of all. In the warmest and most passionate way of all. What Sefer am I talking about? Chevra. Shir HaShir. And there Shlomo HaMelech, with his Ruach HaKadosh, brought down an amazing thing. The story of a Chasan and Kala, of a magical prince and princess. The descriptions are so graphic, you know, that if not for Rabbi Akiva, Shir HaShir would not have made it into Tanakh. Rabbi Akiva is the one who insisted. And it's so touching that it was Rabbi Akiva, because the most romantic story in all of Torah Shebaal Peh is how Rabbi Akiva met and married Rachel, the daughter of Kal B'Savur. And Rabbi Akiva said, all songs are holy, but Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kadosh, is the holiest. And in that Sefer Shir HaShirim, Chasan Kala, trying to sneak away and to meet each other, like many potential Chasan Makalas are doing as we speak, to spend a few moments together. And the love is fleeting, and the emotions are powerful. And there's a word that is used throughout Shir HaShirim to describe that relationship. And all of you know that it is the most popular remez for this month. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. Dod. Now, I don't know how it's translated in the Koran or in the Art Scroll or any other translation. Beloved. It's usually translated as beloved. Every pasuk called Doidi Nezer Bo. Doidi Tzach Ve'od. Doidi, my beloved. But what's odd, and I spoke about this many years ago at my niece's Shever Brachas. Well, what's odd is that the word Dod, really, in the Sherish of that word, what it means is a different relationship altogether. What is a Dod? An uncle. Dod is an uncle. Now, that term dod, as far as an uncle is concerned, is not romantic at all. It's a blood relative. And it seems so odd that Shlomo HaMelech brought down the greatest, most romantic love of Shir HaShir, of Kol Doidi Hinei Zeboh, the voice of my beloved. Misois Doidim, the joy of Chasan Kala, that Shlomo HaMelech brought that down with the word Dod, which means a blood relative, an uncle. So in Chassidus we're taught there are two relationships that we have. Basically, there are two relationships that we have with the Master of the world. There's a love that's called Ahava Kamayim in Chabad Svar. It's called Ahava Kamayim, love like flowing water. That means the love of family, a brother and a sister. Brother and a sister don't necessarily think about that relationship. They're not going usually to seminars to find out how we could improve the relationship, although that might be helpful. They're not dreaming about each other. They get easily annoyed with each other. But oy vavoy, if somebody starts up with my sister, there's not hava kamayim, it's a steady flowing reality of life. Relatives, mishpacha. That's called ahava kamayim, love like flowing water. It's not a matter of choice. It just is. They came with us into the world a couple years earlier, a couple years later. An uncle, an aunt, grandparents, parents, brothers, sisters, the whole team. It's not a matter of choice. It's a reality that God created for you. It's a challenge. Those relationships are complicated. But they can't be terminated. Even if you're not talking, the person's still your blood relative. But then we have a different love. It's called Ahava Keish, love like fire. Ahava Keish is fiery because it's a matter of choice. You know, when you watch about Tshuva Davin, certainly in the beginning, sometimes over the years, the Bali Tshuva learned from us, from birth. But the Bali Tshuva at the beginning, oh, what a fire. You know why? Because he chose God. She chose. She made that decision. I want to be a Jew. It didn't come because of parents and grandparents that forced, that gave it, but rather it was a matter of choice. The most beautiful yeshiva bacham are the ones who want to learn, who made the choice to learn, not because they're afraid they're not going to get the prettiest girl for a shidduch unless they stay in yeshiva. Because wherever you have choice, there's the possibility of passion. Chasam Kala. Of course, Hashem's Baruch orchestrates everything. But these are people who are strangers. And they made that choice. So the advantage of that relationship of Chasam and Kala is that since it's a matter of choice, it engenders passion and warmth and excitement. But the danger of that is that just as they could choose to be with each other, the Torah gave in this week's parasha, in Kiseitse, the Torah gives also the choice of leaving that relationship. And there are many, many who, for one reason or another, choose to leave, to terminate the marriage. And the Torah says there is such a thing. The cost of La Sefer Krisis, Venos and Beyada, there can be a separation and an end to the relationship. Since it was chosen, Hashem gives them the choice to end it as well. But that itself makes it more exciting. Because at every moment, you really have to choose. You really have to want it and make it work. It's not ahava kamayim like water that you could just sit back and it is what it is. So when it comes to the first way of love, ahava kamayim, there the advantage is that it's unbreakable. It's irrevocable, it's permanent, it's nitzchias, your lives are bound together. It's not a matter of choice. And that's the advantage, that it can't end. But the disadvantage is that because it's not a matter of choice, it lacks in that warmth and that depth that choosing brings. So something strange happens in Shir Shirim. There's a shiluv. There's an interfacing of those two relationships. And Shlomel says, Anila dodi v'dodi li. Because you know, according to halacha, the closest blood relative where there can be a marriage, where there can be a transitioning from mayim to eish, is an uncle and a niece. Not that I'm recommending that, and please don't think about it, it's going to gross you out. But there can be such a thing. And the word that Shlomo HaMelech uses is dod. And what he's telling us is that we have the ability to live with Hashem Yisbarach in a fusion of these two relationships, where that on the one hand, I feel that I am choosing Him. I want to be a Jew. I'm excited about my davening, my mitzvahs. There's nothing I would want more in the world. I'm choosing an Ahava Ke'esh, a romantic love, Shira Shirimdik, Chosn Kali, alive, vibrant. But on the other hand, Hashem Yisbarach wants that we should recognize that this relationship, regardless of what happened this past year, and as unromantic as it has become in our lives, or at least how difficult it is to keep that fire burning, that there's always ahava kamayim. Because when it comes to this time of the year, there is this fear that we have, which is why, one of the main reasons why we become uncomfortable when we hear the Chazan saying, Reish Chodesh Elul. Because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Chosn, knows how unfaithful we've been to Him. Only our Chosn knows how our eyes and our hearts have strayed from Him. Only our Chosn knows how our way of communicating with Him has become lifeless, monotonous. When we open the siddur, it's so hard. The fire is not there. I had a wonderful tzedekus I was talking to on the phone today, Mamash tzedekus. It was so sad because she feels that she's so far from how it was when she was in seminary. And she has entered already some years ago into the C minor of life. One of my favorite poets, who I don't have to mention in shul, used that term to describe the grind of day-to-day life. With the same chosn and kala that when they were under the chuppah, the Masada Kedushin had to keep on snapping his fingers that they should pay attention to him because they're too busy looking at each other. Einayach yonim. Shira shir. But then over the years, something happened. She's not as glamorous as she first appeared to him. He's not as handsome and attentive as he was at the beginning when they were courting each other. And the years have gone by, and with God's help, some children, and the difficulties of parnasa, and being in this world before Mashiach comes, and all that that entails. And something inside has died. And it's the same thing with our dod. It's the same thing with our chosn, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so hard in the grind of life, and with all the disappointments, the people that we daven for who have died, relationships that have soured, so many disappointments. It's very hard to keep that fire burning. There are many disappointments that take place between a husband and a wife. So Hashem Yisburach leans down to each and every one of us, and he whispers into our ears the most beautiful words. He says, Ahavas Oilam Ahavtich. I love you with an eternal love. Because the love that I have for you, it's true that there are times when it's fiery, and I love that when we get along in such a way. I love when we're able to walk down the beach in the sunset, you know, holding hands. I love that. But let's face it, it's been a lot of years. They're in this business with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know? And sometimes it's hard to get that fire burning. And then you know what happens? An amazing thing. Hashem encourages us. We have to listen carefully, or else we're not going to come to Rosh Hashanah the right way. Shaul is going to explain this more. Hashem Yisbarach leans down and encourages us, and he says, Bonim atam Hashem Elokechem, you're my children. Li biu besari, you're my heart, you're my flesh. You know, a couple of weeks ago in the Haftarah, these are the Haftarahs of Nechama, a couple of weeks ago, you know, we're so afraid. And Yerushalayim says, that means us, we say to Hashem, oh, Hashem Azavani, you left us, you went away from us. Hashem Shechani. You know, we've put on a couple of pounds over the years, got a couple of creases. I'm not describing my wife at all, as you see, it's so beautiful. But over the years, we've aged. So maybe Hashem Azavani v'Hashem Shechani. Maybe you don't want to be with us anymore. And we did things we shouldn't have done. So Hashem says, Atishkach Isha, Mirachem Pri Bidna, can a mother forget the baby that she had in her womb? That means, Libi Ubisar, with the same flesh and blood, Kivyachal. Ahavas Olam. You know, there's an amazing Torah from the Radzina that I've taught here in Shul a number of times. Chevra, what's the last thing that Avraham Avinu says to Sarah Imenu before they go into Mitzrayim? You remember? What's the last thing? Imri na, what? Achosiat. It's a strange thing. A husband says to his wife, please, Imri na, please say that you're my sister. You know what that means? It means that we go through Mitzrayims in life. And it's not always romantic with Hashem. We're not always excited about it. And we become nervous that maybe our chasen's looking elsewhere. So Avraham Avinu, before he went with Sarah Imenu into Mitzrayim, which means all of us going down into the Egypts of life, he says to his wife, remember that you're also my sister. Imri na achaisiat. Because there are going to be days when it's not going to be feeling like a husband and wife should feel. But remember that we're always achaisi rayasi, my brother and sister. Meaning that our relationship is something that transcends anything that could be broken, anything that could end. So now we come back to asking Hashem for a handout. And how can we ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu for a handout? Because even as a poor person, forget about a borrower, but even to go as a poor person to ask for mamash for a handout, it's not gishmak, it's uncomfortable. But in Hilchas Tzedakah, there's a special din. There's a din of mipsarcha lo tisalem, which means from your own flesh and blood, you can't turn away. You can't look away from your own flesh and blood. And this is how we need to look at ourselves. And this is how the tzaddikim look at us. Let me just share with you a sentence from Rav Kook, Zecher Tzaddik Kodesh Livracha. Rav Kook had a dear friend who was known as the Ritbaz, who was a genius, like Rav Kook, a genius, who was very angry with his old friend from Volozhin, Rav Kook, Because Rav Kook, as you know, had a way of befriending the lowest, lowest Jews in the world. He sought them out. All of the writers, all of the Yiddishistim and the Buddhistim, and all of those who went against Torah and Mitzvahs, Rav Kook befriended. And the Ritbaz believed that this was a dangerous, unprecedented path. And he wrote a letter to Rav Kook, criticizing Rav Kook, respectfully but strongly, for such behavior. And Rav Kook writes back, "Aval haderech shani hoylech aleha b'avodas Hashem yisbarach, the path that I have chosen in serving God, yeda, then you should know, I have poured my blood, my marrow, the marrow of my bones into this." Listen to these words. That Hashem has illuminated my eyes to know that this is the path of our generation at the end of time. It wasn't always, but it is now. And to me, this is not a dangerous way at all. It's the holy way. But the rain in this rabbi and the neshamas rabbis. In our generation, there are many, many neshamas. Then when it comes to making choices, they're not doing well. Jews have chosen to opt out of Torah mitzvahs. Therefore they do many terrible things. And they have deus roes mode, and they have terrible ashkofis. Hashem yishmerenu. Now listen. Mikom mokom, nevertheless, or haskula meyu behem. The light of Hashem's love, the light of the skula, of that mysterious, unknowable relationship that God has with His children, with His sister, with His brother, with us, shines in these Jews. And how do you see that? Therefore, these very same Jews who don't put on tefillin anymore and don't even fast on Yom Kippur, they love Jews. You know, you have people who are very fast to criticize leaders of the government in Eretz Yisrael. Most of them are not religious people. But to me, it's much easier to sit in the five towns and to criticize. And these are people who have spent 30, 40, 50, 60 years dying for other Jews. Every moment of their lives, we might disagree with some policies. We might wish they would be more religious. But the love of Jews, the love of Eretz Yisrael, the love of Am Yisrael, burns in them brightly. That's what Rav Kook writes to his friend. V'choshkin be'eretz Yisrael b'teva nafsha. And they have a great longing and a love for Jews and for Eretz Yisrael b'teva nafsha, woven into the fabric of their being. That can't be changed or broken. The love of Am Yisrael. So let's begin to conclude. I didn't say conclude, I said begin to conclude. There's no question that Hashem Yisroch wants us to work on this relationship, Chasen Kala. He wants us to do what we can to build up that passion, that fire of the chuppah, of the way it was by Shavuos, by Har Sinai, when we were making eyes with each other and Hashem, between us and Hashem. He wants us to work on that this year. And He wants us to do tshuva, serious, mature change, to work on, to take upon ourselves, each one, what he can do, what she can do. But the only way that we could have a cheshek to even start again, the only way that we could come to Hashem's door and say, here we are again, is by knowing that no matter what, it's mibsar chalot esalem, that He never, ever, ever throws in the towel. He never gives up. He never for a moment stopped saying to us, Ahavas oylem ahavtich, I love you with an eternal love that can't be changed or affected by the mistakes that you've made. And once we know that, then an amazing thing happens. The Torah says in the parasha of Tshuva, Ki ha-mitzvah azoyis lo nifleisim imcha, v'lo rechoy kihi, this mitzvah, which Moshe Shamlin is talking about Tshuva, it's not hard for you. It's not a wonder for you. You can do it. Lo b'shamayim hi, it's not in the heavens. V'lo me'ev l'yom, it's not across the ocean. You all know this pasuk. Dol Tanya, the first part of Tanya is built on this pasuk. And the pasuk ends and says what? Ki kar ve'lacha ha'dov ma'ay, beficha b'levav chalasoysa. It is very near to you to do tshuva, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, ki kar ve'lacha ha'dov ma'ay, beficha b'levav chalasoysa. So one of the great tzaddikim, one of the great Bali Musa of the last generation of Leib Chasman, he asked, it's so strange. Normally, when we're learning Gemara, when you have a havamina, a possibility that you're considering, and then you realize that the maskana, the conclusion, is not that, there's usually some closeness between what you thought it was and what it turned out to be. So if somebody says, well, to go from here to Far Rockaway, I have a havamina that is 20 minutes. And then your friend corrects you and says, no, 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 maybe on an Erev Shabbos, but on a regular day, from here to Far Rockaway is 12 minutes. Everybody who's done carpool knows. 12 minutes, you can make it from Woodmere to Far Rockaway. So from 20 minutes, the person's havamina was 20. And then we correct him and say, no, 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 the maskana is, I know it's 12 minutes. No. But in this pasuk, the person's havamina, what he's worried about, what he's thinking is, to get close to God, to do tshuva, is bashamayim, it's in the heavens. It's across the ocean. And I can't go up to heaven. And I can't jump over the ocean. And that's what we think it is. And then Hashem says, no, 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 no. That's the havamina. The maskana is what? Kikar b'lech adav amayim. Where? It's right in your own mouth and in your own heart. So Leib Chasman said, what kind of a learning is that? It's not in the heavens, it's not across the Pacific, the Atlantic. Where is it? It's mamish, it's here. So he says it's insane. The pasuk sounds insane. I'm a shugana. Lo b'shamayim hi? You think it's in heaven? No, it's right here. So Leib Chasman said, it's the difference between the perspective of somebody who's on the outside and somebody who's on the inside. You see, some of you have been to PTA meetings, yeah? And I'm sure that almost everybody here is fortunate to get only the best reports. But sometimes you get that thing where you see that the teacher starts to squirm a little bit when you walk in and doesn't jump up with excitement and gives you the potential speech, you know? Your kid's got a lot of potential. He's 48 years old. His adult education. He's got a lot of potential. You know what? Your mothers, your wives, some of you already grandmothers, some are not zoicha to have children yet, you'll have. The whole world could say, my yankel is a million miles away from being good, right? The whole world could tell. And the father might even believe that. But you don't believe that. A mother doesn't believe that. A mother believes that even though the whole world says you're so far away, a mother feels, you could do it. You're so good, so close to you. You could really do it. You could really change. It's not far away. Your Rebbe thinks it's far away. The principal thinks it's far away. Even daddy might think it's far away. But your mommy doesn't. And mama is Melech Malchei HaMelachim. That's what a mama is, Melech Malchei HaMelachim. And the Shechinah HaKadosh, our mother, she never ever thinks that it's far away from each one of us. Our problem is that when we have the wrong way of looking at ourselves, and we measure our relationship only in that way of Chasam Kala, and it's not really working out, and I don't really feel much, and I'm not into it, and so on. We don't pay attention to our commitments, which are strong and real. Look how many of you came to learn tonight. The whole world is meshuggah with crazy things, and you want to learn Torah, but you don't even remember that you do these things, time after time. Morning after morning, taking care of the children, taking care of your families, the carpools, all those little things that only happen because of your commitment, the unbreakable will. And therefore, when you know that and you believe in that, then you know that it's close. From that world of the insider, the sad thing is when a Jew thinks that he's outside, because he only measures himself by the lack of or presence of romance. So he's an outsider, and as an outsider, I can't go on learning, I can't go to the shir. Some of you know that you've struggled with some of your husbands and other people that you know, men, to get to the shir, to get to shul, with yourselves. When you're an outsider, it seems like it's a million miles away. I can't possibly finish shas. I can't possibly daven better. I can't possibly be more patient and so on. But all of that seems like a million miles away to the outside. But when you're inside, when you know that this is my flesh and blood, libi u'besari, karav elecha davam ha'ayit b'ficha b'lovav chalas osu. So there's a story about Rabbi Levine, who loved Jews in the deepest way. And Rabbi used to go daven when it was still possible. He used to go daven by the kaisa, by the wall. When it was still dark in the morning, it was Vasik, and he went. And he was walking by the old city. And there was a Jew, a Sephardi, by the name of Yehuda Harush. We know this because he's the one that told the story. And this Yehuda Harush was hired by the municipality to clean the streets, which is not usually a job that one feels necessarily so good about. And it was dark, and Rabbi is walking, he sees this Yid, and he sees it's a Jew, and Rabbi says to him, Boker Tov Yehudi Yakar, precious Jew, good morning. And this person sees, oh wow, it's the Tzaddik Rabbi Levine. So he quickly puts his broom behind his back. He's embarrassed. And he says, Boker Tov, Rabbi, Boker Tov. But Rabbi can't hold himself back, and Rabbi goes to give him a hug. And he puts his arm around this Jew, and he feels the broomstick, you know, in the back. And this Jew looks like, you know, the whole Yiddish Agolus, you know what I mean? So embarrassed. Just. And Rabbi says to him, Eze schut yesh lecha. You all speak Hebrew. What a schus you have. Schus is the translation. What a schus you have. You're so fortunate. And he says, Yesh li schut? Eze schut yesh li? What schus? Rabbi says, every morning at Tamanakeh, you clean the streets of Yerushalayim. You know that Yerushalayim is Ir Elokeinu, it's Hashem's special city. And you're making it clean and shining and beautiful for Jews to come here. Do you know what a schus you have? And this person is looking at Rabbi, you can't believe he's saying this. And the Rabbi says to him, Ani mekanei b'cha, I'm jealous of you. And then the Jew, Yehuda, says, Rabbi, ata mekanei bi, you're jealous of me. Kol hayom, all day long, you sit in the Beis Medrash with Hashem, davening and learning. Va'ani, and me, kol hayom, zevel, zevel, zevel. Which a nice translation, all day long, filth, filth, filth. That's the story of my life, filth. You know how many people feel that way? Especially in our times. And the Rabbi said, chalila, chas v'chalila. I'm jealous of you. You're cleaning the streets of Yerushalayim. So this Yehuda Harush said this story over 20 years later. There was a Yartzei thing for Rabbi, and this Yehuda Harush said, it's already 20 years since Rabbi told that to me. And I still look at myself as a prince. And I still look at my broom as the royal scepter. We should look at our brooms that way. Rabbi lifted the person up to a higher place. Rabbi reminded Yehuda Harush that that Hashem's waiting for us to come home, that we're His royal flesh and blood. We're the Mishpacha. This is what He has in the world. And that those simple chores of life and the difficulties and all of our struggles, we feel that it's zevel, shmutz and shmutz. But only Hashem's Baruch knows that we die for Him, Amish. Every minute of our lives we die for Him, to be Jews. So let's look up from the place that we're in, no matter what that place is, after this past year. And with confidence and strength and joy, to look at Hashem in the eyes and say, sometimes I might be in a place that I shouldn't be, but I'm still a Jew. And I'm in it. And it's going to be better this year. Hashem Yisbarach should help us, each and every one of us, that we should remember who we are. Because that's Geula. And to forget is Galus. And this year should be a Geula be'emes. Be'levu be'nefesh be'basa be'guf. Libi u'besari should be redeemed. To be zeiche, to be nechtav menechtav besifim shal tzadikim, and to return to Yerushalayim with Mashiach Tzakein, with the Gula Hashem v'amitish, mehebi amin v'amein v'amein.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.